Welcome, pioneers of the future and leaders of today. Step into our holographic sphere of imagination, where ideas get a digital heartbeat and become living entities of success. Standing with you at the heart of this virtual landscape are two stalwarts, your guides for this deep dive into the digital depths of industry titans, Eric and Phil. Eric, a seasoned tech-savvy strategist, and Phil, the mastermind of algorithms and streamlined processes. Together, they help build the towering digital empires you admire, the innovators and disruptors that have set the gold standard in the industry. Now, what if I told you that the very secret that fuels these industry giants are within your reach? That the digitization of ideas, which they masterfully deploy, could be harnessed by you, the fearless pioneers of the SME world? Yes, you heard it right. Here on Burnt Phone Marketing Radio with Eric and Phil, we decode the secret algorithm that's been the silent powerhouse behind the most successful entities. We bring insights from navigating the pulsating data highways and deconstructing technological obstacles. It's not just about dreaming anymore. It's about transforming those dreams into tangible realities. We equip you with the knowledge to make that leap, just as we've done with numerous successful businesses. So prepare for a journey that has the power not just to revolutionize your digital enterprises, but to reshape the very contours of the industry itself. Ladies and gentlemen, with Eric and Phil, let's code your dreams into tomorrow's reality. Welcome to Burnt Phone Marketing Radio.
Everybody, it's Eric Sablon here, and I'm here with my co-host and partner, Mr. Phil Brown. And today we're going to talk about something that you're seeing a lot in the media right now. If you go to Facebook, if you go to CNN, like I don't really watch CNN, but if you go to the news, if you go to all these different places, there's a name out there that you're hearing. It's chat and then space, space, space. There's also some other different ones out there. But, you know, Phil has been working on the back end of this whole process for a long time, for about eight to 10 months now. And he's actually been in the back end of it. He kind of showed me what was going on with it. But today we're going to talk about a crazy topic. A lot of things, you know, get pushed back and they're like, well, I'm not sure if we want to adopt this and I'm not sure if we want to do this. Generative AI is literally taking the world over by storm from every industry. In fact, there's a stat about losing jobs to AI. And we're going to just talk a little bit about, you know, what Phil sees in the future, but also not just what Phil sees in the future, like the one jobs and the processes that people are seeing and like the biggest struggle that most people are seeing using it, but then most people are fearing it. And I don't want to make this a big fearmonger thing, but you know, we're going to talk about like, is it iRobot? Is Will Smith coming to get us? Is it iRobot? So that being said, please welcome my co-host, my friend, Mr. Phil Brown.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
You've been in the AI space for a while, and tell us a little bit about like the infancy. What did it, when it started to come out, you know, OpenAI, when it started to come out, what were some of the things that people were saying before it really caught on?
Well, I mean, as you know, AI has been around for a long time. So it's actually been around since the 60s, 50s. You know, we had a taste of what AI could be when we were kids with War Games, right? Matthew Broderick and all that, with HAL and you know, want to play a game, stuff like that. So it's been around. It's been kind of in the background, waiting on enough memory to be available for it to actually do some processing and gather enough information. Today, I think the big thing that kept people away from AI is that they just thought it was one of those things that programmers did, you know. It wasn't really something they could touch. They didn't know what artificial intelligence really was or machine learning, anything like that. They just knew it from the TV. They knew, like, you know, all the robot shows. You have the, like you said, the iRobots and the Terminators and all that, of what people had this vision of what AI might become in the future, which, I mean, we're not even close to anything like that yet. With OpenAI, they released a couple years ago a beta platform, and a way for the developers to go in and create prompts to try to get the system to give them answers, right? Basically, it was not really conversational. It was more to the effect that we're going to give it some kind of format in order to provide us an answer based on the information that it's digested so far. When OpenAI came out with ChatGPT is really when people latched onto that. And, you know, the cool thing was everybody's kind of already used to chatting with these like bots, right? Something like a ManyChat would use, or your website's used to have like customer service. So you're chatting with a website and you're asking it questions and somebody's responding back. So we're kind of used to that format. What ChatGPT did is it kind of took the cover off of that format and said, hey, here's what you can do with us. We've trained this on all the data on the internet from the beginning of what we can find all the way up until September or whatever of 2021. And then people were like, okay, well, they just got on there and started asking questions, and then it just boomed from there. You know, they, within, I think, a day, they had 5 million new users once they opened it up to the public, because every developer that was on their OpenAI platform went over to ChatGPT to try it out. And they had a ton of other people that were trying it out, especially, you know, content, copywriters, marketers, anyone who had to write any kind of content about anything was trying it out to see what it could produce. Obviously, it only provides you with information that it found on the internet. So it's not really what I would call something that's actually thinking and then giving you an answer back. It's just providing you a summary of what it finds based on its, 170 billion bits of data.
Well, if you think about it, that's huge. I mean, if we go back to like Google it, I think ChatGPT, I don't know how long ago it was when Google was the word of the year, but I think ChatGPT is going to be the word of 2023. And it's just because it's happening so fast and it's very easy for people to use. When you were doing it like in September of last year, when you were kind of looking at it, when you were kind of telling me about it, what do you think, like, what was the big thing that got people to transition from, hey, this thing, to it's like a word that everybody's using? What did you see was the big explosion point there?
It was ease of use. It just got easier. You know, people are funny creatures, right? If it seems like it's too hard, or that they feel like it's above what they know, then they really don't want to try it. So what ChatGPT did is it took the information and made it more pleasant to use, right? You're just asking a question. The same way that you and I would ask questions to each other. You just type it in, you know, what do you think I should eat for dinner tonight? It's going to tell you what it thinks you should eat for dinner tonight. It may be way off, but it's going to give you something, right? So it's more conversational, and I think people were more accepting of that type of interface rather than having to understand how to prompt it and give it the right format and all that stuff. And people were kind of getting used to that prompting because there were users of like copy.ai, jasper.ai, and writer.me, some of the others out there that a lot of the marketing content creators, copywriters were already trying to utilize. But you know, those systems, they already had what you would call like templates, right? They gave you like, you want to do a Facebook post, you got this Facebook template, you just write in what you need, you know, what your product is or what you're trying to sell or what you're trying to say, and it does a little post for you. With ChatGPT, you can just ask it that question. You can just say, hey, I want to write a post for, you know, for our podcast. What do you think I should say? And it'll give you a post. You know, it may even ask you, where do you want to post it? So you can say, I want to post on Facebook, or I want to post on Instagram. Or you can even tell it, give me a script for a YouTube video. And it'll spit out what it thinks is a good script for a YouTube video. So it's a lot more user-friendly interface. You know, it's easier for someone to ask a question than it is for them to try to think about, okay, well, what is my product? What is a good description of my product? What do I want, a Facebook post and an Instagram post, or do I want to have it do a video for me? What kind of video format do I want it in? Or, you know, do I want to do a post that follows ADA? Do I, you know, so it's all these different thought processes that go into really structuring something that you're going to prompt in like Jasper or in OpenAI Playground or somewhere like that. With ChatGPT, you can just go in there and just free flow ask a question. And if you get it wrong the first time, you can refine the question and say, hey, that's not really what I wanted. I wanted something that sounded more like this, and it'll go, okay, how about this? And it'll give you a whole nother spiel.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I really like the ease of use for ChatGPT has been phenomenal for me. I mean, I love using the platform. One thing that I, you know, I kind of want to warn people is like, it's you're talking to a computer. So as most people know, it's like GIGO, like garbage in, garbage out. So what have you found, like, what have you found recently that's really helped? If you look online, like if you're a marketer or if you're anything that's doing some copywriting or anything like that, you're seeing that there's like a bazillion prompt things. Like that's the important thing. You know, how important are prompts, and how important it is for you to actually ask the computer the right question to get something that answers the way that you need it to?
Well, I mean, and that goes back to, you know, the quality of your question begets the quality of your answer, right? If you give it a better quality question, a more defined question, it's going to give you a better quality answer, a more defined answer. And that is what we're seeing, is kind of an evolution of even new jobs that are coming out for people who they're calling, you know, prompt engineers or AI specialists or prompt specialists, people that are going in there and they're creative and they're kind of artistic in the way that they ask questions. So they can evoke a more quality response out of the software.
Yeah, one of the quotes that I always think about is when a long time ago Tony Robbins says, if you ask better questions, you get better answers. Yeah. And you know, you and I, when we're prompting AI, we really like get into the weeds. Like there's certain things that like you tell it, like a frame and who you're talking about and what you're talking to and what's the audience looking like? And, you know, you and I both, we go through a process. We follow the same guy. We have one of the same coaches, and he does a lot with NLP. And it's cool because if you think of prompting a computer with pictures, sounds, you're going to get really, really good stories and really good feelings out of it. Oh, yeah. So that's one of the things that I've noticed if you do it that way. So what are you seeing right now, Phil, is like, it's not doomsday, because I like exactly what you said. You basically said like there's a copywriter could be a prompts guy because he has that same thinking. So
yeah, I mean, there's a big fear out there, right? You have your titans of the industry saying, AI, we need to slow down. We're going too fast. We need to put in regulations. We need to put in different pieces and parts here to make sure that the AI doesn't take over. You know, and they're also, people are also worried about their jobs. Like, oh my God, is AI going to take over my job? It's not. I mean, yeah. What you may have to do is you may have to learn a new component of your job, because AI may take over the stuff that you do over and over and over every day, the same thing, right? You know, it may AI may end up summarizing your email for you and just giving you what's important. It may automatically put any of the meetings into your calendar without you having to go into your email and accept them. You know, it's those small tasks that it's going to take over first, and it's just going to enhance the jobs out there and make it easier for people to be more productive. You know, an AI can't think. I mean, it doesn't have the same human thought process as we do. So there's that as well. So remember, we created AI, so we have the ability to train it the way that we want to train it. So it can be trained for good. It can be trained for bad. It can be trained to assist. It can be trained to overtake jobs, right? We have, car manufacturers, right? Half of the factory is robotics, but they still have people that have to manage the robots that are in the factory. So you have a ton of different industries out there that at one point in time in the past thought that they were going to just end. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, TV came out and they thought there was not going to be any radio anymore. Now we have Sirius Radio that's got 100 or 300 or however many radio stations on it. You know, there's still live radio, just a different form. So, you know, TV, the internet was supposed to kill TV, right? Or cable TV was supposed to kill the three or six networks that you had the ability to watch. They're still there. We just adopt, you know, we adopt new technologies and we adapt to the way that that's going to integrate into our lives. So I think the fear, it's just a fear of change right now. It's not really, AI is not really going to overtake us. It's just going to change the way that we think about our jobs, and it's going to change the way that we do our jobs. It's going to create more jobs. You know, when the internet came out, it created tons of new jobs. You know, when I first started into college, there was no such thing as a computer science degree. You know, we barely had computers in our high school. You know, now there's computer science degree that has 20 different majors.
Options, yeah.
Majors, it just evolves. And I think the thing that scares people the most is it's evolving so quick. We're not used to making mm-hmm. change so fast. You know, you can change slowly over time. That's kind of easy, right? But if you change and something's different in 2 weeks, then your mind is just blown. You're like, I'm in confusion, right? So, yeah. You know, like one of our mentors says, you have to be able to embrace the confusion, because that's when brilliance and innovation happens.
100%. So one stat that I wanted to share with the audience, and I got it from another marketer, was how quickly ChatGPT got to 1 million users. And I didn't have it right at hand because we were just talking about, you know, how quick it was that was.
Like 5 days or something like that.
Yeah. I believe it was like right around 5 days. But the crazy thing is, you know, a lot of people have Netflix, and that took it was the slowest one. It took like 2.5 years to hit that number of 1 million subscribers. Now there's been many other things that did it quicker now, but overall, like seeing how quickly, like that, like you said, change is happening super fast and AI is constantly evolving. So like, that's one of the things, like, that's why we're doing this podcast. So that way you guys can understand AI, you can understand automation, you can understand the things that are moving super fast, because now it's not a bell curve. It's literally like a hockey stick. It just goes straight up. And as the stuff adapts, it's going to be faster and faster and faster. Oh, I think
we're literally in the curve, like right the curve of the hockey stick, right? We're just getting ready to shoot up exponentially. And it's going to happen fast. We think we're going fast now. It's going to get even faster. You know, they're already on the precipice of like quantum computing and stuff like that, which is going to be another complete game changer. So, and AI will probably help us get there faster, because the more you train, you know, the computer on certain topics, the better it is at doing that research for you, doing the different calculations that you need to do. You know, there was a statistic, you know, everybody's familiar with the Google and what was the game that Google played in like 5 minutes and beat the world champion that had never been beaten in like 10 years or whatever. I forget what kind of, what was the
game that was. I know what you're talking about. Like, it seemed like chess.
I know it's done chess as well. I mean, it mastered chess in, you know, probably 4 hours and beat a grandmaster. So it's done a lot. It just learns fast. And that's because it can go through different scenarios, you know, 100 times faster than we can do it.
Yeah, I got the stats. Netflix, 3.5 years to get 1 million subscribers. And I'm just going to kind of highlight. So Netflix, Airbnb, 2.5 years. Facebook, 10 months to get 1 million subscribers. This I didn't realize this. Spotify, 5 months to get 1 million subscribers. Instagram, 75 days to get 1 million subscribers. ChatGPT, OpenAI, 5 days to get 1 million subscribers. It is insane. And it's just so fast because they made it super easy for people to use. So, you know, that being said, it's like, stick around to this podcast, because we're going to go through a lot of different things. I mean, like I said, Phil has been in the automation space for a long time. He's actually scaled large businesses and helped those companies basically create systems and automation for their processes. So if you're like a real tech, I like to call them green guys. If you're those kind of green guys that literally want to see next step, you found the podcast that's going to give you those steps. So, you know, that being said, catch us on our next episode. This episode, we talked about a little bit about ChatGPT. We talked about how AI is taking over some of the some jobs, but also how it's making things a lot faster. And get on the curve, because the hockey stick is coming. Phil, you got any last words to say before we send them off into the outro, which is amazing? Because
I mean, the biggest thing is stay tuned, guys. We're going to be going over some great stuff in this podcast. And, you know, don't be afraid of AI. Embrace the change. Get curious, be ambitious, and just play with it. See what you can do.
100%. Guys, make sure you listen to the full outro. The offer that Phil puts on the table for you guys is amazing. There's certain qualifications. You got to be at certain spots. But I tell you right now, if you're in that spot, this is actually what you've been looking for the whole time. I'll talk to you guys later.
Imagine an exclusive one-day assessment tailored to transform your company into an automation powerhouse. It's not just any ordinary assessment. It's a game-changing blueprint that will propel your business toward 100% automation. Our exclusive assessment will uncover the path to unparalleled automation. Say goodbye to mundane tasks and unlock new levels of efficiency and growth. Don't miss this opportunity to revolutionize your company. Book a call now to secure your spot for an assessment. Let's code your dreams into tomorrow's reality and begin this transformative journey today.